Death penalty proceedings continue today in federal court in New York for one of four men convicted in the embassy bombings case. Muhammad al-Awali was found guilty of murdering 213 people in the attack in Nairobi, Kenya on August 7, 1998. A second defendant will face a separate death penalty proceeding after this one is complete. Two others could face life in prison when they are sentenced. The prosecution is presenting a long stream of victim witnesses to testify about the horrible toll that bombing caused. From New York, NPR's Melissa Block reports.
The jurors are hearing a devastating deluge of testimony from those who survived the bombing and the family members of those who died. Witnesses called by the government to personalize the victims for the jury. Some wound tissues around their hands as they testified. Some struggled to maintain composure. Others wept openly. For Sue Bartley, whose husband and son were both killed in the Nairobi embassy, it was a welcome opportunity for the victims to have a voice.
The results of those bombings are with us forever, will be with us forever. The pain that we feel is with us forever, every day of our lives.
Bartley was the first witness to take the stand. She spoke of her husband, Julian, the first African-American U.S. Consul General to Nairobi, who would walk with dignitaries and heads of state. But it was the little things that Bartley remembered. "I missed the sound of his snoring each night," she said. And she lamented that their 20-year-old son, Jay, a summer intern at the embassy, was robbed of his future. "What is left is raw emptiness," Bartley said. "A part of me is missing." Several witnesses described the emotional trauma suffered by the victims' children. Fahad Sheikh worked as a cashier at the embassy and was missing for several days after the explosion. His sister Tabassum Butt told the jury that Sheikh's young son begged to go to the mosque to issue the call to prayer. "That way," the boy reasoned, "my father will hear me wherever he is, and he will come out wherever he is trapped. He will know we are looking for him." But Sheikh died in the blast. Afterward, at school, his son would do nothing but write about the explosion, draw pictures, and make clay models of the embassy. Doreen Ruto, whose husband Wilson Mutahi was killed in the bombing, said she lost the backbone of her family, her best friend. And her two children, she said, have not been able to cope with their father's death. They were just 9 and 1.5 when he died. Ruto told the jury, "Every time I leave home, it's like, Mommy, are you going to come back, or are you just going to leave and go where Daddy went?" Deborah Hobson Bird clutched a Bible as she told of discovering that her husband, Kenneth Hobson, had been killed in the explosion. Sobbing, she said that shortly after the embassy attack, she found out she was pregnant with their child. 8 months later, she said, "I gave birth to a little girl, and I called her Abigail, which means my father rejoices." Her testimony had Muhammad al-Awali's attorney, David Baugh, wiping away tears. Many Kenyan family members described a frantic search for their loved ones through hospital wards crammed with bleeding, screaming victims, through mortuaries filled with corpses and body parts. Mary Kahenzi said the morning of the explosion, her husband Thomas insisted that he wear a T-shirt she had bought him as a present, even though it was still wet from the wash. Days later, she found her husband's body in the morgue. "He was very broken," she said, "but we identified him by the T-shirt he was wearing. It bore the message, 'I'm a Catholic, and Jesus loves me.'" And the jurors heard from Ellen Bomer, who wept as she said she can't accept the fact that she's now permanently blind because of the bombing. "I keep thinking I'm going to see," she said. "My Lord is not going to take both eyes. He might take one, but he isn't going to take both because I didn't do any of this. I was innocent. I was doing my job." The cumulative weight of the testimony was too much for al-Awali's attorney, Fred Cohn. After the jury went home for the day, Cohn asked Judge Leonard Sand to truncate the remaining victim impact testimony. "Your Honor," he said, "there is not one of us that leaves our humanity at the door when we come in here, and it is hard to stand up here and play the Grinch. But," he said, "the law tells us that this is not to be an exercise in emotion, but one of logic. It is a roller coaster, and it is enough." Judge Sand disagreed, saying the Supreme Court, quote, "in its infinite wisdom, had ruled such victim impact testimony to be admissible. Some 15 more victim witnesses are to be called starting today." The defense strategy will be political, not personal. In his opening statement, attorney David Baugh said he would not call Muhammad al-Awali's family members to testify to his character or upbringing. What he is expected to argue is that al-Awali thought his religious beliefs mandated him to bomb the embassy. Al-Awali was a follower of the Saudi exile Osama bin Laden and intended to martyr himself in the explosion. Baugh said he would try to explain the why behind his client's actions. Quote, why does a young man agree to die? Why does Osama bin Laden hate America so? Baugh told the jurors that one of al-Awlali's motivations was to stop the U.S. campaign of airstrikes and sanctions against Iraq, actions, Baugh claimed, that have caused the deaths of more than a million Iraqis. And he urged the jurors to choose a sentence of life in prison without parole. Baugh said, I trust at the conclusion of this penalty phase, you will find that killing never fixes anything. It just makes more people more angry, and this gives more reason for killing. Melissa Block, NPR News, New York.